Welcome to this session on mobile productivity with Windows 8.1. So thank you for attending this session. I know it's one of the last sessions in campus days, so I realise you've probably been here for 3 days and sat through a lot of presentations. Hopefully you've seen some interesting stuff. So I'll try and keep this as interesting as possible to finish off the conference on a high note. So in the next 75 minutes, what you'll hear about is some of the new features in Windows 8.1 and Server 2012 R2 that can help make our users more productive when they're in mobile scenarios. So the real value for you of attending this session is to, well, you'll get to see some new stuff that hasn't been released yet or is just being released now, and hopefully you'll be inspired when you get back to your workplace to start implementing some of this stuff and adding some more services to your service catalogues. So I'd like to just introduce myself. My name's Matthew Grimshaw. I'm a Premier Field Engineer with Microsoft. And perhaps some of you don't know what Premier Services are. So maybe I could just ask a question. So who amongst you has ever had to raise a case with Microsoft, or who knows how to raise a case with Microsoft? Okay, so when you raise a case, you're using your Premier agreement. Or maybe some of you have attended Microsoft workshops, or you might even have participated in our risk assessment program, where we come out and make an analysis of your environments, looking for operational risks and health problems. So these are all part of the Premier agreement. So I work in Premier Services. I'm a Premier Field Engineer, so I specialize in Microsoft technologies. So what I'd like to talk to you about today is bring your own device. So who here knows or think they know what bring your own device means? Okay, yeah, few hands going up there. So it can mean different things in different scenarios and mean different things to different people. But today, when I'm talking about bring your own device, what I mean is non-domain joined devices that are accessing corporate resources. And these devices may not have been purchased or provisioned by the IT departments. In fact, they might even be owned by the users themselves. So when I start to talk about bring your own device with Danish customers, usually the first comment I get is, well, isn't bring your own device something that's more popular in America than it is in Denmark? The other comment I quite often receive is, bring your own devices is not just a sales technique, a sales trick. You're trying to get us to buy more devices. Well, I've had conversations with several Danish customers, quite interesting conversations. And some of the customers I've talked to are planning on implementing models where their end users are given a fixed sum of money and they are able to go out and buy their own devices, choose their own devices that they can use to do their jobs. And in some situations, they are also able to, if they want to upgrade to the next model, the user is able to invest some of their own money and get the exact device they want. Another quite common scenario is, I don't know if any of you have ever had a problem where you have some rogue devices on logging onto your network. So maybe some of you have had the problem where you have some iPads or iPhones trying to access your network. So quite a common scenario we see at our customers is that, for example, different business units, different departments in our organizations go out and buy devices. So a classic example is the marketing department may go out, buy 25 iPads, and then the first thing you guys get to hear about this is when they ring up and they need to get these devices logged onto the network and trying to get applications to work on them and access corporate resources. So this introduces some new unique challenges to our work, because although we may not be involved in the purchasing and provisioning of devices, we still have the responsibility for ensuring that they work. We also have, we're responsible for the security of our networks and also for ensuring the privacy of our data. So it's some of these challenges that I want to talk about today. And I think in the near future, we are likely to see some scenarios in our workplaces where we have less standardization and more diverse types of devices that we need to support. So there's really three main points I want to talk about today in the presentation. So the first one is workplace join. So workplace join is a new feature in Windows 8.1 and Server 2012 R2. And workplace join will allow devices to get access to corporate resources. The second thing I want to talk about is work folders. Work folders is a technology that can help us to sync users to sync documents down onto their devices. And then lastly, I'd like to talk about System Center Configuration Manager and Windows Intune and try and explain how this can bring some added management to the various devices we may see logging onto our networks. And the key point for today, when you go home and think about this session, is that these technologies, seen from the user perspective, are very intuitive and simple to use. So it's a very easy user experience to get some of these technologies to work. Okay, so just before we continue with the presentation, I'd like to introduce you to a scenario. So just tell a short story. So in this scenario, I'm the IT administrator at my company, and I get a call from one of the users, one of our users, and let's just call this user Bob. So Bob is, I'm sure you all have a user in your own organization that's like Bob. Bob is the kind of guy who just thinks IT standards, IT procedures, they just get in his way. What he really wants to do is just get on and work. He's not interested in having to follow a lot of procedures and IT regulations. And what makes it worse is that Bob is actually the CEO of the company. So let me try and introduce you to Bob. So here we have Bob, and Bob is on holiday with his family. And he's promised his family he won't do any work whilst he's on holiday, so he left his laptop at home. He was in the bar last night, he had a few drinks, he got talking to some of the other guests, one thing led to another, and now he thinks he has the opportunity to land a massive sales deal. So Bob rings me up and says, I really need to get onto the internal website, you've got to help me. At this point, I've got a couple of options open to me. I can say to Bob, the only way you're getting onto the internal website is if you're running using one of the five approved models of laptop, installed with a corporate image, it's joined to the domain, and you're running a secure VPN. Bob probably doesn't want to hear that. He's the CEO of the company. He might just fire me and get the next guy in the IT department to do what he wants. Luckily, just last week, I've installed a new Windows 2012 R2 server, and I think some of the features I have can help Bob to do what he wants. So let's take a look at how I can help Bob. Okay. So, you can see here, Bob. This is Bob's Windows 8 device, and he's tried to get onto the internal website. He's getting an error. So what I say to Bob is, okay, all you need to do is just shut down your browser. So just before we shut down the browser, we'll just go in and clear the history. Just clear out the state of the browser. So we just delete the history. That's been done. And then shut down the browser. All you need to do is hit the Windows button and type in workplace. You can then choose the workplace settings. Now, Bob gets to this screen here, where he's able to enter his email address. So he types in his email address here, bob@campusdays. And he has two options. He can join his device to the workplace, and he can turn on device management. So if he chooses join, he's going to perform what we call the workplace join. If he chose to turn on device management, he would be enrolling his device into the Windows Intune service. So we can see here that Bob has gone on, he's chosen to join his device to the workplace. So his device is now connecting back to the internal infrastructure, and Bob gets prompted to put in his username. So he just types in his credentials and hits enter. And then at this stage, there's a whole load of stuff going on in the background, and Bob's device is being joined to the workplace. There we go. The device has joined your workplace. So now I say to Bob, okay, try and go back and access the internal website now. So he opens up Internet Explorer, trying to get onto the internal website. Website's just loading up. And you can see there he actually gets redirected. And at this stage, but the authentication is happening. So Bob is being authenticated to get access to the internal website. So just takes a moment for that process to finish. And now we can see Bob has got access to his company website. Now, this, as you probably can see, is not a sales website. This is a website that I've, an application that I've made in order to demonstrate some of the features of Workplace Join. So what we can see in this in the browser here is the what we call claims. So when we open access internal resources via Workplace Joined device, some claims are issued into Bob's user token. So if we look at the website here, the top one there is, it says, is registered user, and that's true. So what that means is that Bob is the registered user of this device, so his device is joined to the workspace, joined to the workplace. We can also see some other interesting claims here. So the second one is managed, whether his device is managed by a mobile device management product. We can see the operating system version. We can see that it's running Windows, the OS type. And we can also see the host name of the device. So it's client one. This is Bob's PC. The other thing that happened whilst Bob was, whilst he joined his PC to the workplace is, a certificate has been installed, pushed down into Bob's user profile. Okay, so that was the user experience. So it's fairly simple for Bob. All he has to do is enter his email address, enter his password, and his device is joined to the workplace, and we can start to allow him access to the internal resources. Let's try and take a look at what happened on the server side. So here we have Bob with his various devices. And over here we have Active Directory. So Active Directory is where Bob's identity is stored. He has a user account in Active Directory. So Bob decides to join his device to the workplace. And a couple of interesting things happen. So firstly, we can see that his device connects back to the internal infrastructure using HTTPS. So we're using an SSL connection. So this means that in order to use the workplace join, we need to have some certificates. So we recommend, of course, that you use a public certificate. If you use a public certificate, then Bob's device will trust the infrastructure it's connecting back to and be able to establish the HTTPS connection. Now, in this scenario, Bob's on the internet. He's going through the web application proxy. But the other interesting point in this slide is that he's being authenticated by ADFS, Active Directory Federation Service. So ADFS is the technology that enables workplace join. And with Windows Server 2012 R2, we have some new features in Active Directory Federation Services. We have what we call the Device Registration Service, DRS. And this is the technology that allows us to join devices to perform the workplace join. So Bob, he could have also chosen to turn on device management. If he'd done that, his device would have been enrolled into the Windows Intune service. So Windows Intune is a web service, it's a cloud service. And the real advantage of being able to use Windows Intune is that with Configuration Manager 2012 R2, we have a connector to Windows Intune. So all of the devices that are enrolled into Windows Intune will basically be synced back to Config Manager. So we will be able to see all of the devices that are accessing our infrastructure in the Config Manager console. And this also allows us to then be able to start deploying applications, pushing out applications, giving our users access to applications, but also pushing out some settings to the devices. So via the Windows Intune service, I could, from Configuration Manager, push out some settings to Bob's device that say I require him to have a screen lock or he must have enter a PIN code on his device, these kind of settings. So this is really where I can do my management. But for Bob, by enrolling into Windows Intune, he gets access to the company applications. So let's take a bit of a closer look at workplace join. So what are the benefits of workplace join? So Bob can join his device to the workplace. He gets access to internal applications. He also gets a single sign-on experience. So he just signs on once, enters his credentials once, and then he can get access to all sorts of different internal company resources. And this really enables Bob to be able to work from anywhere. He only needs a internet connection and he can access company resources. So for you guys, as the IT administrators, there's also some benefits. We are able to, with Workplace Join, we're able to have some multi-factor authentication. So you saw when Bob joined the workplace, we installed a certificate onto his device. So already there, we've got two-factor authentication. When Bob launches his browser, goes onto the internal company website, his credentials are authenticated, but the certificate on his device is also authenticated. With Active Directory Federation Services, we can have more types of authentication. So we can have multi-factor authentication, and we can also have multiple types of authentication depending on which resource Bob is trying to access. And then for Bob, of course, it was a very simple user experience. He didn't have to install any software onto his device. Everything is built into the operating system. If the infrastructure is there to support it, all he needs to do is turn on these features. So quite simple user experience. So in order to illustrate the what's happening when we do the workplace join, so in this scenario here, we have Active Directory Federation services, we've got the DRS, the Device Registration Service, running in ADFS. So Bob, he launches his web browser and his user account is authenticated. The next thing that happens is his device is registered, so he's joining his device to the workplace. And when he does this device registration, the ADFS, the DRS service, contacts Active Directory, and it actually makes a new record in Active Directory. So a new object is created in Active Directory that represents Bob's device. So this means that with Server 2012 R2, we can have records in Active Directory for devices that are not joined to the domain. Of course, this has some advantages when we want to give access to our users. We can use these objects for authentication. So an object is created in Active Directory, and the object is linked from Bob's user account to the device. So we could have a scenario where multiple users are logging onto the same device. Windows 8.1 supports multiple user profiles. So when Bob's accessing the infrastructure, we will check that it is Bob that's logged on, and also that the device certificate exists in his user profile. So this means that he can share the device with his family. Maybe he's got his kids logged on to his device, but they don't necessarily have the same access that he has when he's logged onto the device under his own credentials. And then the last part here is that we push out the certificate and the device is registered to join to the workplace. So this allows us to have some quite flexible scenarios. We can specify that if the device is not joined to the workplace, he doesn't get any access to applications. If it is joined to the workplace, we can decide what resources he's able to access. And then, of course, if we have domain-joined devices, then they can get full control. So let's just take a look at the authentication process. So when Bob launches his browser, opens the web application, the first thing that happens is the authentication. So we have two-factor authentication. Bob's user credentials are authenticated, and the device is authenticated. At this stage, we can also, if we so wish, have additional forms of authentication. So you saw in the previous slide that the Active Directory Federation Services integrates with Windows Azure. And in Windows Azure, we have a new technology called Phone Factor. So we could, when Bob is logging onto the network, get Active Directory to use Azure services and call Phone Factor. And the Phone Factor will basically look up the telephone number that's associated with Bob's Active Directory user account and then place a call to his cell phone. So he could either receive a telephone call or an SMS that requires additional authentication, so Bob is proving his identity. So once the authentication has occurred, then we have some authorization. Active Directory Federation Services will then figure out what Bob is authorized, which resources Bob is authorized to use. And it all ends up with Bob getting an access token. The access token, as part of the authorization process, contains the claims that we saw echoed out in the website earlier. Okay, so let's try and take a look at some of the server-side pieces on this. So I'll just bring up my test machine here. I have my domain controller. So on my domain controller, I'm just showing the DNS console. So in the DNS here, I have three different records in DNS. The first one here is enterprise registration. Okay, so when Bob enters his email address to the workplace join field, what happens is we basically disregard the username part of his email address, and we just take the domain name, and then we construct a URL, so we append enterprise registration to the domain name. So a URL is constructed, enterpriseregistration.campus.days. So this is how the device is able to connect back to the corporate infrastructure. So in order to get the workplace join work to work, we need to have some records in the public DNS that point back, enterprise registration points back to our public domain name, points back to our infrastructure. I also have another record in my DNS here, enterprise enrollment. And this points to manage.microsoft.com. So if Bob chose to turn on device management, then we would construct this a URL, enterpriseenrollment.campus.days, and that would redirect his device to manage.microsoft.com, which is the Windows Intune service. So that's how his device finds Windows Intune. And I also have one record here for work folders, which works in a similar way. Okay, so if I take a look at Active Directory, got the Active Directory Management Center here. Actually, I've got a new, this is of course running on the Windows Server 2012 R2, I've got a new node, so a new container in Active Directory, registered devices. So this means that we need to have at least one domain controller running Windows Server 2012 R2 because there's some schema changes in order to support these new types of objects. So here in Active Directory, I can see records of all the devices that have been joined to my workplace. So if I try and let's just take a look at the properties of this one. See, I can look at the attributes here, and I can see that the display name is, for example, client one. So this is Bob's device. When he joins his device to the workplace, this record is made in Active Directory. And we can use the attributes of these objects to give Bob access to internal resources. The main piece of Workplace Join is Active Directory Federation Services. So here I have the ADFS console. So if I look at my authentication policies, just say edit the global primary authentication. So you can see at the bottom, I have a tick mark in enable device authentication. And this is the enabling this tick mark turns on the device registration service. And this is what allows the workplace join to take place. I can also differentiate the authentication based on Bob's network location. So if he's coming from the internet, I can use Windows authentication. If he's coming from the extranet or the internet, then I'm using forms authentication, basically prompting Bob for his username and password. And I can also here require multi-factor authentication. So I could require some extra certificates, or I could integrate, register third-party or the Windows Azure phone factor service and require some multi-factor authentication at this stage. In my ADFS, I have this application claims app. So I've registered my website in Active Directory Federation services. So this allows me to set some rules on how the what the requirements are in order to be able to access this website. So if I look at the claims rules, I have one rule here, require device authentication. So if I just say edit rule, so the rule is registered user must be true. So when Bob tries to access the internal website, he has to be on a device that is joined to the workplace, otherwise he won't get access to this application. And if we look at the other types of claims and the rules we can build up, there's quite a lot of detailed rules we're able to put onto the application. So we could do one, for example, on the client IP address. And we have lots of other possibilities. So, for example, if it's a managed device, if it's inside the corporate network, so the web application proxy integrates with ADFS, and if we can see that the Bob is coming through the web application proxy, then the inside corporate network will be set to false. If he's just accessing ADFS directly, then the inside corporate network is set to true. So we can basically make a lot of different conditions about how Bob gets access to his application. Okay, so just jump back to the presentation. So the message here is that with Server 2012 R2, we have some new tools in our toolbox, and we can use these to offer services to our users. In the scenario here, Bob, he's got access to the internal website. He's happy about that. He now asks me to give him access to his documents. And this is where work folders can help Bob. So let's take a look at how work folders, the user experience work folders. So this is, again, Bob on his Windows 8.1 device. Oh, and I just say to Bob, okay, all you need to do, press the Windows button and just type in work folders. Work folders starts up, and there's quite a simple wizard here. Again, all he needs to do is type in his email address. Click next. The device is connecting back to the infrastructure here. He gets prompted for his username and password, so he has to authenticate. He just types that in, and then the process continues. This is prompting him to... Now, in order to turn on work folders, Bob has to accept the conditions. So let me just see if I can get that screen back. So here, Bob is basically prompted and given a warning that if he turns on work folders, the corporate IT can do several things on his device. So firstly, we can encrypt the documents that are being synced down to his device. We can also impose that he will need to have a password to log into his device. And the third thing here is that we can also erase all of the documents that Bob syncs down to his device. So with Windows 8.1, we have what we call selective wipe. So we're able to remove the corporate data from his device and leave his personal settings. We're able to remove any applications or documents that have come down from the corporation, but his personal documents and his applications will remain. So rather than having to do a full wipe of the device in order to remove the corporate data, we can do what's called a selective wipe. So Bob has to accept that in order to be able to set up the work folders. So now he's gone on here and he's set up the work folders, and then that just starts syncing in the background. So automatically the work folders folder opens up and he's got some documents here. If he just creates a new document, we can see here I have mapped to the server, the share on the server, and the new document is also now being synced up to the server. One thing you may notice here is that the documents in the work folder are green. Does anyone know what a green document means? It means it's encrypted. So the documents that Bob has synced down, they have been encrypted on his device. Okay, so now, again, quite a simple user experience. All Bob really needs to do is know his email address, and he can set this up on his machine. Doesn't need to install any clients. Everything required for work folders is part of the operating system. So let's take a look at how work folders works on the server side. So again, here we have Bob, all of his devices, and he connects back to the corporate infrastructure and accesses the file server. So the thing with work folders is that it is a role in the file server. So we don't need to invest in any new technology. Work folders works on our existing file servers, provided they're server 2012 R2. The advantage of using the file server for work folders is that we can leverage the other features of the file server. So we can do things like set quotas on the amount of data Bob can store on the server, and we can back it up, take backup, and this kind of thing. Work folders integrates with Active Directory, so we can also use ADFS for the authentication. So this means that we could require his device to be joined to the workplace before work folders, before allowing work folders to work. Okay. So we have a lot of different, or several different technologies for syncing files. I'll just try and explain where this work folder fit into the different technologies we have. So we have, for example, SkyDrive, SkyDrive Pro. We also have folder redirection, offline files. Work folders is not designed as a replacement for SkyDrive or SkyDrive Pro. So SkyDrive is an excellent solution, but it's more targeted at the consumer, not at for corporations. SkyDrive Pro is more of a corporate resource, and SkyDrive Pro allows for collaboration. So if you want to share documents between everyone in a department, then SkyDrive Pro is probably the best solution. Work folders is just about syncing one user's documents down to their device. It's not a solution that can be used for collaborating, sharing documents amongst users. And folder redirection, offline files, is a good solution for the PCs that are joined to our domain, but work folders will, of course, support non-domain joined devices. So Bob can basically set up work folders on all of his devices. Could be Windows 8.1. We also support the iOS, so he could sync his documents down to his iPad. So the server deployment, as I say, is we're just leveraging the existing infrastructure on the file server, and we can use the features of the data management features of file server, quotas, so on, and we can also use some rights protection. So you saw that the documents that are synced down for via work folders are encrypted. If we want to have some stronger protection, then we could write protect the documents in the work folders. Allowing Bob to start syncing documents down to his non-managed devices and syncing them back up to the file server raises some security concerns. So what happens if he has a virus on his PC? How do we deal with this? So if I just take a look at my server here, where I have the work folders set up. Cool. So just log in. So I basically set up a share on my server on the C drive, work folders. So you can see Bob has his, this is where Bob's files are stored on the server. So Bob gets a virus in one of his documents on his PC. Now he's running Windows 8.1. So already there we have Windows Defender running in Windows 8.1. So he should be protected already there. If the virus does get picked up and synced up to the server, I have my antivirus running on the server. So I have my endpoint protection. So I can see here, if I go into the history, Bob has he's had a virus in his work folders. This has been synced up to the server, but the antivirus on the server has basically picked up the virus and quarantined it. So we can see the path to the file here. So the thing with work folders is that we are just leveraging the existing infrastructure on the file server. So we don't necessarily need to deploy any new infrastructure to set this up. We're just turning on features in the operating system. So in my, if I look at my server manager here, this is the server I have work folders set up on. Under the file and storage, I've got work folders. And it's very simple to set up. I just have created a folder, C work folders. If we look at the properties of that, then there's a couple of options I can set when on the axis. So firstly, I can decide which of my users gets access to work folders, which users can begin to sync their folders up. And I can also require some policies. So I can require that files are encrypted, and I can also require that screen lock and a password must be turned on the device. So I have on my C drive here, I've got the work folders, and another folder is created here, the sync share state. If I look in here, then I also have a folder for Bob. So the way this works is the sync share state can be considered as a staging area. So when Bob documents get synced up, they get copied into the sync share, and we have some databases here and some other files, and this is we use this to handle conflicts in documents. So if Bob has multiple versions of the same documents on different devices, he syncs them all up to the sync share. How do we know which one is the latest document and which one to share, which one will be saved? So we have some database here where we can track document versions. And if there is a conflict in the versioning of documents, then work folders will never delete any user data. It will just append the date and save it into the user's folder. Okay, so I just go back to the presentation. So what I wanted to talk about was System Center Configuration Manager. So we've looked at some of the infrastructure changes, the technologies that can enable our users to work in mobile scenarios. How can Config Manager help me with the management of these devices? So with we do it through the Windows Intune service. And as I said before, we have a connector from our Config Manager, which is installed on our corporate data center. We can basically connect out to the Windows Intune service and sync all of the devices, pull back all of the devices that have registered within Windows Intune. And we can also then start pushing out settings and pushing out applications. The interesting thing is if Bob decided to turn on device management, we don't need to install any software. We don't need to put an agent out onto his device. So normally, if you join a computer to Configuration Manager, you need to install the Config Manager agent. With Windows 8.1, the agent is built into the operating system, so we're using some lightweight protocols that are included in the operating system. And this is the same for the iOS and Android, so we're leveraging existing APIs in the operating system in order to be able to do our management of these devices. So we don't need to install any agents. So it's quite a simple process to enroll a device into Windows Intune. We can do it over the air. So we just, so long as the device has connection to the internet, we can enroll the device. And then we're able to provide a self-service portal so we can publish our corporate applications out to a catalog that the user, that will be present on the user's device. And the corporate, the self-service portal is a common experience across device types. So if Bob's on his iPad, or if he's on his Windows 8.1 device, he'll see the same company portal and he'll see the same applications. So we're trying to give the users a common, familiar experience. And we get, of course, some advantages for you guys, the IT department. So we're able to get some inventory back from the devices that have been enrolled into Windows Intune, and we can also wipe devices. So say Bob goes out, he loses his device from Config Manager, we can retire the device, we can wipe the device, and we can also perform the selective wipe, where we just take off corporate data, leaving all his personal data intact. So this is a screenshot of the self-service portal. So once Bob has joined his device, he gets access to self-service portal. You can brand this, put in your own logo, and provide the company applications to your users via the self-service portal. So we see for the Windows Intune support, we support various different operating systems, Windows 8.1, and the management agent is what we call the OMADM. And this stands for the Open Mobile Alliance Device Management. So this is an industry standard. And these were the APIs that I was talking about that we can leverage in order not to have to install any software onto Bob's devices. And we can actually use some of the same APIs on other platforms, so we can do it for Android as well. This is an industry standard. So let's try and take a look at the experience Bob has in his... we'd take a look at the IT, the administrative experience for Config Manager. So here on my server, let me just get this on the screen. So here is my Config Manager server, and I have the Config Manager console open here. So the first thing you can see is I have created a subscription to Windows Intune. So this is just the Windows Intune connector, and this is the part that will go out, connect to Windows Intune, and do the syncing of devices and enable me to push out applications and settings to mobile devices. As part of that, I get a new role installed into Config Manager. So I have on my Windows Intune, I basically have a management point and a distribution point. So I am able to send applications, distribute them out to Windows Intune, and the clients will download the applications from Windows Intune. And Windows Intune is part of Azure. So it resides as part of the Windows Azure infrastructure. So if I go into my in my Config Manager console, if I go into Assets and Compliance, when we're talking about mobile device management, there's some interesting new features in Config Manager. So this is Config Manager 2012 R2. So we have some new features here under the company resource access, and we have some new features as part of the compliance settings. So if I look at the compliance settings, I have a what we call a configuration item, and this is where I'm able to make some policies and configure some settings that I want to send out to my mobile devices. So I've just created one configuration item here called mobile devices. If I take a look at the properties, then we should be able to see what I'm able to do. So I'll look at the compliance rules. And you can see I have a lot of settings that I can configure on mobile devices. So as soon as Bob turns on device management and enrolls his device into Windows Intune, I can start pushing out these settings onto his device. So some of these settings require passwords on the mobile device, the minimum password length, the idle time before the device is locked. We can also go in, set the default browser. We can turn on active scripting. So we can see that there is a lot of different settings and configuration we can do on Bob's device. At the bottom here, I have one called work folders. So if Bob joins his device, turns on device management, enrolls the device into Windows Intune, then I can automatically configure work folders on his device. So we can see for the work folders here, I just put in the URL for my work folder server. And then what happens is it basically checks whether that setting is in place on the device. So you can see the last column here is called remediate, and I have this to yes. So when the client evaluates these policies, if they're not in place, then it remediates it. It turns on these settings. So when Bob joins the Windows Intune service, I can automatically configure the work folders for him. What I also can do, of course, is to then start pushing out applications to Bob's device, or publishing applications. So maybe Bob didn't know the address of the website he needed to get onto. I can create an application in Config Manager. So this is the claims application that I showed at the start of the demonstration. And it's what we call a web application. So it's basically just a URL that I can publish out to his PC. And this is a new type of application that we can deploy with Config Manager R2. So this allows me to provide Bob with the applications he needs in order to do his job. As part of the, under Assets and Compliance, as part of the company resource access, we have a feature called certificate profiles. So with Config Manager 2012 R2, we have some integration with the our internal certificate authority. So I can basically set up a certificate profile, and I can get Config Manager to enroll certificates onto devices. So I can use Config Manager to push out any certificates I may need on a device. I can also configure a VPN on Bob's device. So maybe he needs to, an application he needs to use, connect in via a VPN. I can use Config Manager to create a VPN on his device. So let me just try and show you how this works. I just create a new profile here, Campus Days. And the connection type, so I hope you can see this, but it's not just a Microsoft VPN that we're able to configure. So we've done a lot of work with our partners. So we have some possibility here to create VPNs for non-Microsoft products. So you can see the first one is Cisco AnyConnect. We have got Juniper, F5, Dell checkpoints, and then some Microsoft ones. So if you are running any of these, if you have any of these VPNs implemented in your environments, then we can get Config Manager to set up the VPN on the clients. So also for the mobile clients. So this could be on our Windows 8.1 device. It could also be on iOS or Android. And we can also set up some Wi-Fi profiles. So maybe you have wireless internet at your offices. You can basically provision the devices for to be able to log on to the your wireless networks via Config Manager. So then when Bob brings his device into work, it will just automatically log on to the network and he can start working on it. Okay. So I've mentioned before the feature we have of selective wipe. So with via Config Manager, we're able to wipe devices. So if Bob loses his tablet, he loses his iPad, then via the Intune service, we can basically send a wipe command out to the device and clear the corporate data. This is maybe not the best experience for Bob. He might not be too happy if it's his personal device and I basically just wipe everything, do a factory reset on it. So we have also the possibility to do selective wipe. So when we do the selective wipe, we will, any applications that he has installed via the corporate the self-service portal will be removed. And we remove the encryption keys for, so his the data that came down via work folders was encrypted. We'll remove the encryption keys, so he's not able to access the encrypted documents. Okay. So here we can see if we perform a selective wipe, what gets removed from his device. So the applications and the Wi-Fi, any VPNs we may have put on. If we've enrolled any certificates on the device, we'll also take them off at this point. The settings that have come down via Windows Intune will be removed from his PC, and any corporate data. And then the supported platform. So we need to be running on Windows 8.1 in order for selective wipe to work. As I mentioned earlier, the selective wipe or the way we do the mobile management is via some APIs in the operating system. So this means that if you don't have Config Manager, if you're using a different mobile device management solution, other products can also leverage the same APIs. So we can probably see the possibility to do selective wipe in other mobile device management solutions. So it's actually something that's implemented in the operating system and not a part of Config Manager. We could actually do it directly on the client by running a script that performs these actions. Okay. So, Right, that was pretty much what I had to say for you today. We've got about 10 minutes left. So there's, of course, the evaluation. I'm sure you've seen this slide in the other presentations you've been to. I'll just explain quickly how the evaluation works. So the evaluation is quite important because this is basically your event. So we're trying to present relevant content, content that is of relevance for you. So if by providing us with the evaluation, then you can help to create a better event next year. So you just do the evaluation via your phone, send a text message with the session code and then the evaluation of the speaker, the relevance, the technical level, and then you can put in a comment if you want. Okay. So I'll just ask, does anyone have any questions? Yeah. How you enroll an iPhone or an iPad? So you need to go to the Windows Intune website on an iPad. And then the enrollment, so it's not exactly the same as the Windows 8.1 where we have it built into the operating system. We basically wanted to do that, but we couldn't do that. So you just do it via the browser, and then this will then install an application onto the iPad or iPhone, the company portal where you'll be able to have all your seal the corporate applications or the applications that are deployed out from Config Manager. It's the same for Android as well. Yes.
If you have multiple users on a device,
yeah.
Can they connect to different companies' work folders if a husband and wife are sharing one device?
Yes, I believe they can. So the work folder is for that user profile. And I believe also you can, I'm not too sure about the workplace join, but for the work folders, I believe that that's correct, yes. Okay, well, if there's no other questions, then I'll say thank you for today. If you want to come down, thank you. If you want to come down, I'll be hanging around for a few minutes. If you want to have a chat or ask me a question, then you're welcome to do that.